Sabine says, although he had his own private room in his home there, despite this, he would generally go out into the fields, to some woods out of town, and there he would have lengthy hispedias. Losenzahl says that when he visited Benazal in Zvedivka, one town, another town, the Benazal took him for a walk in the fields, the mountain, and they went for a long walk. Abinazal motioned with his hand, pointing to the fields of the mountains. He said to Abinazal, all these fields and mountains that you see around this city, all the places that are nearby to the city, every one of them, I went and I covered many, many times. I would go very often to Respedidus and all these places. I'd walk around these mountains and fields alone in a very pleasant, completely absorbing talk to Hashem. Benazal told Nazar too at the top of one of the mountains, there's a very high spot. At that top, there was sort of a indentation of the mountain, like a little valley at the tip of the mountain. And there, going into this little valley, this dent, Benazal liked very much to go there for his burdens because it could not be seen from anywhere else, though he was so high up, top of the mountain. There he could cry out to Hashem freely, along with Hashem, crying out, pouring out his heart, and always pouring out his heart to Hashem, the words of our Kaveni. Hashem, bring me closer to you. Bring me closer to your worship, to service, to serve you. And of course, so many tears and so much crying by the Benazal, we can only imagine the results to a very slight degree, because we cannot really conceive of the greatness of the Tzaddik Emes. What the Benazal accomplished primarily through his Hesbedidus to reach the awesome Madrega which he got to. And so too, the Benazal said, when he lived in Mezhebuzh originally, the city of the Baal Shem Tov, then in Zlatopolye, and then later on in Breslov and in Oman, the Benazal did the same thing. He'd go out into the fields for his Hesbedidus. Above all, the length of time of his bedus. Benazal said each Jew should strive for 1 hour shor achas his bedus, 1 hour of his bedus per day. Benazal himself, of course, did not restrict himself to 1 hour. But many times, Benazal had his bedus for an entire day, from morning until night, without a stop, straight through his bedus. There is a special story about one of these cases, which we'll take up the next time. There's an interesting sidelight to that story, which I'd like to save for a special shiur. The usual sidelight that is not mentioned here, of course, it's a private, personal experience. But the ikkar is, Benazal said, above all, two things. A Jew should never allow a day to go by without his benedus. That's the highest madrega, the highest ma'ala of all. And then two, the highest is to be the simcha always. Jury combine these two, bizecha the simcha b'shleimus and his b'shleimus, but this he can reach the highest madrega. We should be zecha to fulfill the eight b'shleimus of Inazal, and that discourse we should see. B'yas k'shir z'kena, b'yin b'yis mikashim heida, amen, b'yamin. We continue the shir, sicha yisharan, te'if kuf samach gimel, paragraph 163. This paragraph, we pause for a moment, to deviate a little from the regular. I've never done this before. I tried to avoid injecting anything personal into these shiurim. But this case, I feel that I must. Though I probably do not have any colorful autobiography, but specifically this one very short paragraph in Sichei Saran. This one is what altered my life, changed it, and made it. Strange to say that one little paragraph could do it, but this definitely did. My entire life was changed because of this one paragraph. This happened at the approximate age of 16. Until that time, as most of you well know, my father, Lashon, was naturally born a Breslover, the great-grandson of Rabbi Aaron Zalbi Breslov, Abarzal, who was one of the two witnesses appointed by Rabbeinu Zal, the statement that the Tikkun HaKloli once said that the Rabbeinu Zal Sinan would guarantee a person being saved by Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbeinu Zal, who was regarded in the highest esteem by Rabbeinu Zal. So, of course, being born a Breslover, my father, Shalom, worked very hard throughout his lifetime, going to Uman for many, many years, at great sacrifice, at great risk to his life, at a time when many people died in that attempt. He succeeded for a couple of decades. And coming to America, here too, he brought the spirit of life, the inner of Breslov, sprang to life because of his deeds. I recall as a child, when every Shabbos he would say his shiur on the Likutei Moran, he would try to impress upon me the fact that it is important being a Breslov. It's difficult to inject emunah into a person, one of the most difficult items possible, because a person has freedom of belief. He believes or he does not believe according to his own whim. So it is, of course, easier when you're brought up in a home, a Breslov home, and you're brought up to a degree, religious, you go to yeshiva, learn. That time, of course, the type of learning then was different than today. I would safely say that an elementary student then knew more Gemara than a regular high school student today in yeshiva. But the interest in the learning about Breslov did not reach a peak of feeling. It was a matter of mitzvahs anoshim l'mada, sort of lip service. I was accustomed to learn it every Shabbos, look into this forum once in a while during the week, because after all, being occupied in the yeshiva from morning until night, learning Gemara, that was sufficient time spent on the study of Torah. As time went by, we mentioned in the Sifta Torah V'Das at that time, which was the greatest yeshiva in, probably in the world, or before World War II, at least in America, and the learning was at the high peak. There was no time for play whatsoever. So the time for concentration, anything but the studies in the yeshiva, was practically nil. However, learning in the yeshiva did give a sense of religion. It did sharpen the religion to a point where you lived it, not just obeyed it. So it got to a point where I felt that I wanted something more, to advance a little higher, a little more religion, a little more abstinence from pleasures. And one day, this happened one day suddenly, and I sat down to meditate about this. I reminded myself of the fact that, after all, I'm quoting from a sefer, very strange type of sefer. The sefer was cut short very shortly after it was written. The sefer was called My Own Diary, written at that time. Quoting from that diary, recall that I sat down that day and began to think. The fact that, after all, I was the son of one of the leading Breslover in the world, and there must be something to it. Why not look into it a little more? More than I had studied before. In other words, delve into it, deeper recognition. And so I selected, that night I selected, it was late in the evening, I selected the Sefer Hishtabchus HaNefesh, which deals with the topic of Hispeditus. It's a selection of statements about Hispeditus, davening to Hashem privately, and it compiles most of these statements from different Breslover Sforim. However, the Hakdama, the preface to that Sefer, is called the Snagus Rabbeinu Zal's custom in this item of Hispeditus, and how Rabbeinu Zal became great through Hispeditus. I began to read that very slowly, very carefully, And when I got to this paragraph, when we're about to state, a very brief paragraph, something happened suddenly, difficult to describe. Again, I quote, not verbatim, but what I recall in that diary, that suddenly I felt that somehow the gates of heaven were opened. I began to see a tremendous light, an ethereal, a heavenly light. I realized first a little how great Abenazar was, how much greater than I ever thought before. Secondly, how important and how valuable, how priceless was the element of tshuva and his splendidness. And also, how important it is to be zeuche, to be a Breslover, a follower of Abenazar. At that moment, I decided to pursue this as much as possible, to abstain from, primarily from any type of worldly pleasures, taivas, that is, of course, pleasures that are osur, should not be indulged in, and to try to devote myself entirely to this type of avodas Hashem, as promoted by the Sefer. It didn't last too long, of course, but because that's what's called the Isaruso de Lielo. When the person wants to become good, he wants to do tshuva, he wants to become more religious, he wants to really serve Hashem, the person first decides that with sincerity, there is always a light sent down from heaven to help push that person along. It's called a person's hascholah v'chassidus. A person's beginning in his life as a chassid, there is a strong assistance, aid from heaven. Then, as Abinazal described, it's like a small child when he's trained to walk. The parents or parent holds a child by the hand. The child finds that it's simple to walk. If they train him well, after a while, they leave the child alone. He's got to walk on his own. He falls, he gets up, he finds it much more difficult than before. So the Isarusa de Lielo, when there is assistance from heaven, the smallest person who can go leaps and bounds, rise to an extremely great height. That every person probably experiences. Now, one more item about this small paragraph. I felt that this paragraph had actually changed my life because from that time on, at least if I wasn't a good Talmud, a good Breslover Chassid, I had at least the feeling that I wanted to be one. I recognized the importance and the greatness of it. So I felt that in all fairness, I shouldn't share this with others. Why keep it to myself when it is so great a treasure? Then I was very much surprised. I was taken aback. I had a chavrusa in my class, a boy that I studied with together, Gemara. He was the son of one of the Rashi Yeshivas in Terev Hadas. One afternoon at lunchtime, I told him to come with me privately to a vacant room, sit down there, and I would read a passage to him. I read this paragraph to him with tremendous feeling, and I watched his face closely to see if suddenly his eyes would light up. He began to float in the earth on a cloud. Somehow, there was no reaction. I was shocked. Why didn't it work with him? I found afterwards that the answer is that in itself, this is a chiyah which cannot be explained. Why some people are aroused to tshuva, to kedusha, when they learn something and others are not. Melchizedek explains it in a different form. Melchizedek says that the reason there are so many thousands of different types of sforim, and some people complain, why should people have more sforim? When can you ever learn all these sforim? Why print so many types of sforim? We have enough already. Why print more? Nosazov says the reason is because you never know which sefer affects which person. As we know, the Sfarim itself, it mentions that certain great Breslov and Hasidim who made history, like the Yisrael Karadunizal, one of the brightest stars of Breslov, who became a Breslov because he once found a page, a small page from the Tikkun HaKloli. And this aroused him so that he dropped everything. He changed his way of life, spent his life on going to Oman, getting to Oman for there to Eretz Yisrael, and devoted the rest of his life purely to the Avodas Hashem. Many here have met his wife, Gitala. She was called Gitala Tzadekis, Olei HaShoah, who passed away less than a year ago. Very old age, but who symbolized his greatness. She too spent her life, probably she passed away in the late 80s, spent her entire life, even though she was extremely ill the last many years, she would spend the days and nights going out to do Gmilas Chasadim, and always speaking, always bemoaning the fact that she has to do tshuva. And we always said to Halavai, we should be zechad, our mitzvah should be equal to her sins. But that is an example of one more case, and so too many other stories. Each person who received his oedidus, his awakening, through a different passage. I bring this point out, not that I expect anyone to become high by just hearing this passage, but just the fact that it could happen to anyone. Any person can, with the right desire, the right will, can become infused, actually inflamed, with a burning desire to serve Hashem. Even if that flame is short-lived, there is always an impression that remains forever afterwards. Many of those words, once a person tastes the precious words of the Tzadik Emes, and even at night, the candle will never become extinguished. Night means when he has a yirida, he drops from his level, he falls back. No matter how deeply he falls, the candle will remain lit a little, enough fire to reignite him if he ever wishes it. Now, of course, we apologize for taking this time out about a personal item, yet it's not that simply personal. One more point we must bring out, that this is something that Rabbeinu Zal foretold. Rabbeinu Zal said the Fetish very clearly, that with every one of my Talmidim, in the future generations, there will be whole stories, whole biographies written about each one, or to be able to tell about each one, because they will each make history in a different form. So whoever is zechet to become the Skarev to Rabbeinu Zal, that person becomes like a Sefer Torah. The chronology, the stories of the Torah itself, the battles that the Jews went through throughout history, that's generally speaking about the entire Jewish nation. Each individual Jew has these pass over him, especially those who are zechet to become the Skarev to Rabbeinu Zal, go through these wars and battles, either at home means from parents, from relatives, who tried to dissuade him from becoming a so-called chassid, or becoming a fanatic, becoming too religious, or sometimes even by rebbes, person going to yeshiva, and have a rebbe as a misnagid, who will bend every effort to draw this Talmud away from Rabbeinu Zal. This is the main the duty, the dedication, work of the Satan. The Satan, Rabbeinu Zal said, will abandon every person in the world and let him go free. Satan's work is to stop a person from being religious, from serving Hashem. The Satan will gladly allow everyone to serve Hashem, be religious, as long as he can stop those people who are close to the Tzadik Emes from remaining there, to draw them away. That's the main work of the Satan, main aspiration of the Satan. Achmona Litzlana, this is the main battle of a true follower in life. Therefore, Rabbeinu Zal said, the greatest tragedy is a chassid shenofal, chassid who came close, then he fell away, It's a great tragedy, because though that candle remains lit to a degree, but how sad it is what the person could have reached, could have attained, achieved in life, and what he lost out by deserting, by leaving. Hashem should help us that we should be zechut to true emunah, remain very close, emunah shlema to Rabbeinu Zal, and this applies to life here, especially life forever after Olam Haba. Now, Sif Kuf Samach Gimel, the Pnosan Zal relates this paragraph, again a short paragraph, but as we said, a very meaningful one. Rabbeinu Zal lived in the city of Zlatipoli. Zlatipoli is a small town comparatively. Rabbeinu Zal was there for a couple of years before moving to Breslov. Now, during the time that Rabbeinu Zal was there, Rabbeinu Zal heard this from a man who was in that city and who experienced this incident, who related it to Rabbeinu Zal. One day, a summer day means that the day is very long, many hours in a summer day. A summer day could be 18 hours. One summer day, Rabbeinu Zal arose early in the morning, he davened Vasikin, and then he sent his daughter, his young daughter Sarah, to call this man. The name of the man is not revealed here. Apparently it wasn't one who was that close, a regular Mishamish Bekodesh Rabbeinu Zal, one who lived in the city. Summoned this man who came to Rabbeinu Zal. Rabbeinu Zal said to this man, "Come with me, let's take a walk. Let's go for a walk outside of the city limits. City limits, residential area, you will not find many woods, trees, forests, parks. Let's go outside of the city limits." It was a small town. It wasn't too far to get out to the woods. They went out to the fields, and there, walking on the grass, Rabbeinu Zal said to this man, "If you were only Zecher, you were privileged to be able to hear the sounds that are taking place here, the songs, the praises to Hashem, the tefillos that these blades of grass are expressing right now. Every single blade of grass is saying a tefillah, a song of praise to Hashem. And that tefillah is so pure, so selfless, there is no ulterior motive in their tefillah. They have no strange alien thoughts. Their thoughts do not wander. They do not seek any kind of reward in their tefillah. How wonderful it is to hear this pure song of the blades of grass and the vegetation here. How wonderful it is, too, to be able to serve Hashem among them, to add your tefillah to theirs, and let your tefillah rise up together with theirs." They kept walking till they came to a small mountain, and then, this was close to the city, and Rabbeinu Zal asked this man what this was. He said this was a sort of a cave in the mountain. And he said, "Let's go into that cave." He entered there. He went into this cave. It was sort of a cave carved out of the mountain. Entered there, they were completely invisible on the outside. It could not be seen from the outside. Soon as they came in, Rabbeinu Zal sat down on the ground, took out a sefer from his little sack he was carrying, a sefer Shaarei Tzion. Shaarei Tzion is a sefer tefillos. It has different types of tefillos in it, like Tikkun Chatzos, Tikkun Koros, many other types of tefillos on various topics. Many of them sat on the ground and started to daven for this sefer. With such feeling, he began to cry, and his cries increased with intensity. Rabbeinu Zal cried very much. He kept on going from page to page, crying very intensely, without a stop, without a pause whatsoever. A man stood nearby, transfixed. He just stood marveling at this sight. He had never seen such intense crying before, such depth, so much feeling. Then stood there holding the Benazar's coat. He waited a long time, the time became longer and longer. Finally, of course, the man could not move. He was rooted to the spot, just looking at this strange apparition. He'd never seen such a deep feelings in Tfilah yet. Finally, the Benazar stopped crying, and he said to the man, "Walk outside and see what time it is." The man walked out and saw that the sun was about to set. It was time, just time to get mincha. But he was shocked. All this time from the time of Vasikin, the morning on, without stopping for anything whatsoever, no pause whatsoever for anything, no question of eating or drinking or moving from the spot. Abinadol sat there in Davin, his bitterness cried through the entire day, till Sadach. Then Abinadol said to this man to light his pipe for him. He sat there for a while, and they went outside. This single item is brought in, obviously. Abinadol was very, very much opposed, spoke very strongly against smoking. Lighting the pipe, naturally, refers to the same kavana the Baal Shem Tov had. A pipe was used as a means of fulfilling the mitzvah of ketedus, the carbon of ketedus, which was the most precious of all the carbonas, spices on the mizbeach. A tzaddik emissa knows how, through the pipe, can actually perform the mitzvah of ketedus. This was the time for mincha when ketedus is said. And then, when they walked out, on the way back, Abinadol said to this man, "Know that there is going to come a time when it will be very, very difficult to become a Talmud of mine, to become close to me. Very difficult because at that time the opposition will be great. The world will be filled with hisnagdus, with opposition, obstacles, a fierce battle against the idea of Hasidus, especially of Breslova Hasidus. That time will come in the future. Right now," Abinadol said, "I am with you. I'm with you. I'm in your hands. I'm close to you. And you can, if you wish, become very great tzaddikim, even like myself." Abinadol referred, of course, to the future, not just that time. Later generations, like now, even now, when the world has sort of descended to a very low level, a nadir, a pit. Yet the fact is that even today, a person, any person, who wishes, who has the strong resolve, can overcome all the obstacles and can become really closely attached to the Benazel, and can rise upwards. That person who is really close to the Benazel will find two things. One thing, he finds that he'll never lose hope. No matter what happens, no matter how much he may sink backwards, he'll never feel dejected or rejected or abandoned, feel that he is cut out. He knows that the rope is still tied around him. No matter what happens, no matter what he did, no matter what sins Chas v'Shalom he may have committed, he knows that he can always return, because his emunah and Abinadol is a solid one. Secondly, it is fact that those close to the Abinadol b'emes are the ones who really know how to and do serve Hashem with the purest type of Avedis Hashem. You want to see true tzaddikim, the fact is you will see it among the breast of it. And then it is so, you want to see tzaddikim who devote their lives, who are the ones that stress davening vasikin daily, who are the ones that stress getting up for chatzos at night, who are the ones that stress going out to the fields every night for his hispedidus, who are the ones that stress spending the entire time purely in serving Hashem. forgetting about the desires, the taivas of this world, material gains, material benefits. Avedis Hashem, for this short period of time that a person is here during his lifetime, you'll find this mainly among the Breslover. Therefore, that Nosazel said it, who are we to dispute this? Nosazel said that the smallest of the Breslover, that is true Breslover, is greater than the greatest tzaddikim of the non-Breslover. Tell this to a non-Breslover and you'll be stoned. But we have implicit emuna, that Nosazel's words. All we can say is, since, not if, but since that is the truth, Alavai, we should be small Breslover. Alavai, we should be zecha to really become Breslover, to become close to the Rabbeinu Zal.